Good afternoon. Today is Wednesday, July the 17th, 200th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is Humboldt County Supervisor Estelle Fennell. How you doing?
I'm doing great, Ryan.
You recovered from the chili yet?
Kind of.
Okay. Hey, there's upsides and downsides of being judges, aren't there? Estelle got drafted by the folks in the friendly, sunny city, you know, Fortuna.
Wonderful
with
Fortuna.
Rodeo week. So that's what the reference was to the chili. This afternoon, we're talking a little bit about water rights, some of the things that are going on, some of the things you might be aware of, but also some of the things that you might not be aware of as the state continues to spread its tentacles into our lives.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about how deep they go when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 313. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Estelle Fennell. But before we do, our quote this afternoon. Oh, life and death quotes are always so tough. All right, I love the Satchel Paige one. I think everybody's heard it, though.
Okay.
Don't look back. Something might be gaining on you.
Good one.
Yeah, and so timely, too. So what are some of the challenges, Estelle, in general terms, before we get into some of the specifics of what we're dealing with locally, with water rights? I think most folks are familiar with the concept of an aquifer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. With a river. Mm-hmm. Okay. Lagoons, lakes, streams, and the ocean.
And springs.
If you happen to have some, or it happens to be messing up your road.
Mm-hmm.
You're familiar with springs. Beyond that, it starts to get a little hazy for a lot of us. So
yep.
When we talk about water rights, that's a whole different thing entirely.
Yep.
So as we start with the concept, are water rights similar to mining rights, where it's something that's not on the surface and it's something that others may control, even though we think we might?
Yeah. Well, I think an interesting aspect of mining rights is if you look at a lot of deeds on land deeds throughout Humboldt County, for sure, and I'm sure everywhere else, a lot of times those mineral rights will be reserved. You'll get pretty much everything except the mineral rights. Water is something that a lot of people will either have deeded on their land or they actually have a right to, so long as the water originates on their land in terms of a spring, or if a creek is running through it, you have a certain amount of right to that water. So that's one of the issues that people throughout Humboldt County will be looking at in the near and in the distant future, too, I'm sure. The whole state is looking at water. I mean, if you look at the whole way California grew up was the diversion of water from north to south. A lot of the growth is in the south in what was ostensibly a desert. And now the governor is looking at doing that again.
Building more in the desert?
Well,
more from the north?
Yeah, it's taking more from the north.
Okay.
In terms of those tunnels, they were the peripheral canal the first time it was around. Now it's the tunnels. And there's going to be a lot of pushback in the valley from ranchers and those. There's also going to be a pushback from people concerned about the delta. So that's the big picture in California.
The delta is really the linchpin for the argument, even though it might not be the real thought behind it. Save the Delta, protect the Delta, keep the Delta alive. et cetera, et cetera. That's kind of where the argument's being hinged right now, isn't
it? Yes, it is. And there, you know, and I can't pretend to know a lot about that, except that I know that there are two interpretations of it. One is that this is being done, this will help the Delta, and another is that this will harm it. And so those arguments and are going to be very heated, I would say. And then there are people who are out in the more rural areas who feel like their voices are not going to be heard as this massive project is pushed forward by the governor. It's obviously a very big deal for him.
The discussions that we have heard over the last 8 to 10 years about the Klamath River Basin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, even the eel doesn't get talked about anymore. I guess that's fait accompli. But with the diversions, pulling out the dam, save the salmon, blah, 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 blah. Does that have any relevancy whatsoever, any parallel arguments or a connection to what we're talking about with the water rights within the state of California?
Well, I think that it's, again, a whole other issue around water rights, because you've got the people up in the upper reaches, and then you've got the tribes, and then you've got the people in the lower reaches, and then you have the fish. And that's a very big deal. That's how a lot of water rights are being looked at now, is to, through what they provide for habitat, not just for us to drink. So right now, on the larger scheme of things, first of all, we have higher population. We have climate. We definitely have climate change. We're not going to talk about what caused that, but there's climate change, and so you have to deal with that, at least for now. We have less water.
It's interesting for me, as we hear the discussions get kicked around and played with, that nobody is talking about the existing California aqueduct system, the canal, covering it so we don't lose it to evaporation. You know, and maybe I'm just really myopic, but wouldn't that be the simplest first step? And then let's see what's left after we aren't losing that 10 to 15% that at least those are the figures I've heard, just through evaporation.
I think you should go down to Sacramento and talk with the governor.
Oh, don't put that curse on me. I'll talk to him. I don't want to spend more than about an hour, though.
I mean, obviously, that's a common sense approach. I mean, why not? I don't understand why not. I don't know enough about that system, although I lived in L.A. and I saw all of the canals. But bottom line, though, yeah, we're going to have to think along those lines.
And then,
go ahead.
Well, you got to take a break. Then we'll continue with your thought.
You got it.
Because I know your thoughts are better than mine. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:19.
Sunshine for Humboldt. Recently, the Eureka Heritage Society named Bill Hole its Preservationist of the Year. For 17 years, he's led the renowned Historic Preservation and Restoration Technology Program at College of the Redwoods. Now, however, he's been told the college may not be able to afford to offer his classes next school year. While the program has a shortfall based solely on enrollment, Mr. Hole says that's not the full story. It's brought in more money than it costs to run, over $1 million from donated supplies, equipment and training sites, state grants and training agreements. He adds, "The type of training we do, integrating construction, rebuilding and revitalizing neighborhoods, is significant to Humboldt County. The intensive hands-on training prepares his students to fill the demand for specialists to work on restorations locally and throughout the country. See, our administrators should take off their green eye shades and see the big picture. This program is a valuable asset to our economy and culture." Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit association dedicated to the betterment of our communities.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon and her fine ideas with Estelle Fell. Before the break, Estelle, we were talking a little bit about the canal that exists, mm-hmm. covering it. Not that covering is the big deal, but there are efficiencies that seem to be the really low-hanging fruit.
Well, efficiencies. That is a really good way to look at it. We need to change our approach. We need to be aware of what we're dealing with. On the one hand, we've got scarcity of water. On the other hand, we may have too much at some point. We may have sea level rising. You know, in fact, if you go from north to south in Humboldt County, you've got an overabundance of water in the north and an underabundance in the south. And so we're going to have to look at all of those issues. But one of the things that has come about since 2009 is that the Department of Water Rights has begun to crack down on registration of water allocations. So if you have a water right, you have to begin sending in a statement or registering what you've been used, appropriated water. There's a difference between what's known as a riparian water right, which is just the fact that you've got the stream on your land or you've got the creek running through and you're using it, and then appropriated water, which could be partly to do with that if you're storing it for later on, or it could be partly to do with taking it from your next door neighbor's spring.
So if you have a pump or a well or something that's where it starts to get a little dicey.
Mm-hmm. Now, interestingly enough, I was at a water meeting down in Bryceland last Thursday, and there was a couple of representatives there. One was from the Division of Water Rights, Department of Water Rights. The other's from the Department of Fish and Wildlife. And it's interesting to see how the two see the water issues. From the Department of Water and Rights, it's basically, what are your rights as a landowner, a human being, basically?
What are your rights, or these are your rights?
These are your rights. Okay, but that is the question, okay?
Oh, question mark.
Like for them, they want to quantify to a certain degree, but they acknowledge that you are up there right up with the fish. From the Department of Fish and Wildlife, their mission is fish, number one. So it's not that they're saying we can't have water. It's just saying that our mission is protect fish.
We get the leftover after the fish are done.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to go there, but they're definitely very focused on that.
So are they getting more aggressive in that position?
Yes.
One of the things, and I've heard over the decades, and I'll just kind of leave as fuzzy as I can, is that there doesn't seem to be a checkoff for reality. That the rules are the rules, black and white, put your toenail over the line and we will guillotine it off.
Well,
mentality. Did you sense that that's still there, or is that starting to loosen up a little bit from the Fish and Wildlife folks?
Well, I'll tell you, with regard to what's happening now, right now in southern Humboldt, I would say that there's the beginnings of a nibbling at the edges of that, okay? Because it's clear that without a buy-in from the community, from the landowners, you're not going to get as much progress as you take it from a punitive approach, you're going to get less buy-in. The more you work with the community, with the landowners, the better the buy-in.
So they are looking for compliance, voluntary compliance rather
if
than...
If they can. But they've started off. They went into one little watershed, and they actually sent out notices of possible violation, and people have to come in line pretty quickly on that.
Now, when the government sent those out,
mm-hmm.
was this undocumented use? You know, the illegals, the pot farmers, the things we talk about. Or is this somebody who's been doing it for decades, generations?
Generations.
And this is just the normal thing. And now all of a sudden, they're getting spanked.
Yeah, and it's a very, very complex issue, actually. And I think we're going to be seeing more and more a discussion about it. Because let's say, for instance, with the riparian rights, if you've got a spring... or if you've got a stream going through, you know that you're pumping water out of the stream. It's pretty obvious you're lessening the water. If you've got a spring, it has been up until now. If that spring was on your land and didn't really go very much further,
it's yours.
You don't have to do anything. You don't have to register it. And even now, you can argue that you don't have to register it because you have that right and it goes with the land. So there are many, many people who haven't done anything because that's their water and it's on their land. And
wouldn't it be reasonable to see that the state/fed, you start seeing these springs. Now we've got wetlands. Oh my, trigger, trigger, and we all know what wetlands and what a nightmare that becomes. Mm-hmm. Is that in this discussion yet?
Well, that's why I say that there's that play between the water rights and then the fish and wildlife protection. So you have an absolutely right to that water.
Yeah, you did go to some government meetings. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:30.
You want hot buys on furniture and appliances? You've got them during Burns Furniture's July Hot Buy Savings Event. Choose your new 7-piece living room group starting at just $899.95. In Burns Sleep Center, the new Serta Eye Comfort mattresses are the latest innovation. Or select your Englander mattress set in twin to king sizes. All with free local delivery and easy financing options. Hot buys on furniture and appliances during July at Burns Furniture, 5th and G Streets in downtown Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Humboldt County 2nd District Supervisor and known chili aficionado, Estelle Fennell. Estelle, the concept with this water is, and I guess it's tempting for some of us who are more gullible and naive to say the government is here really and has our best, their intentions are the best for us. Their mm-hmm. thoughts are the best for us. Everything's good. And yet, all I've heard so far is potential litigation, potential dollars and cents for reporting, and then misreporting if something is askew. A very aggressive potential for doing what has been historical use. I'm not seeing anything here that gives me a warm fuzzy at all. And more government regulation and more involvement in our life, cost of regulation going up, cost of whatever it is that we're doing, mm-hmm. getting it passed on. I don't see a benefit here at all for anybody in our area. Am I missing something?
Well, one of the things that was presented at this workshop was that a lot of these follow-throughs, if you will, from Fish and Wildlife specifically would be complaint-driven. So that's one aspect of it. The other is that if people move forward now to follow through with this program that was put in place in 2009, so it's 4 years ago, that there's a possibility that there won't have to be it'll be the carrot rather than the stick.
And the carrot would be,
hey, you know what, you're registered now, we know you've got the water, good for you, you've got it forever.
We won't take it from you?
We won't take it from you, but we might not let you have everything that you want.
That sounds like a take.
Kinda, yeah. So here's the thing. One of the questions that came up during this meeting is how many people have come into compliance statewide, so don't think this is just Southern Humboldt, since this program was put in place?
I'm going to get waging heavy either with 3, 4, or 5 people.
Well, about 10%.
Okay.
So 90% have not registered yet.
Or saying not on my
California.
Watch.
I'm not sure. I think a lot of it is people just feeling like they don't have to. People don't know. A lot of people there was a great turnout at this meeting in Southern Humboldt last week. A lot of people there just had no idea that they had to go through some of these steps. So
at the end of the meeting, what was their attitude?
A lot of people felt that they want to help. They were concerned, however, about what might be coming down the pike. And, you know, there's always that concern that you're going to lose what you've had.
Distrust of government.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then, of course, there is the elephant in the room, and that is brought up as the reason for a lot of this is, you know, the big drawdown of the large marijuana grows. So there's a whole discussion there, too, about trying to get that in line with reality. And I think that there will be a bit of a pushback on that.
Well, the marijuana growers, I wouldn't think that they're going to be the guys that are registering, ever. roll the die. I mean, if it's illegal to have the diesel, if it's illegal to have the the plantation, if they're on somebody's property illegally and they're growing an illegal product, I don't see the compliance of the registration of what they're where they're getting their water from is really ever going to be a concern that they'll even consider.
Well, and that was another. That was another concern that was raised by some of the people who were at that meeting. Is, well, we're all going to do it, and then those guys who were the ones that are taking more water are not going to do it, and we're going to have to maybe have to pay. Okay, so if you do have appropriated rights, in other words, you're taking water and storing it, or you're taking it not from your land but from your neighbors, then what you have to do is you have to register it. $250 the first time, and then $100 every 3 years to keep that registration. So there's an added cost now for everybody on that kind of thing. So there's definitely going to be a concentration on this. I think that it's good for people to know that this is coming up and to be aware of it. And on that note, the Eel Russian River Commission is going to be in Humboldt County on the 24th. That is next Wednesday. And several of those issues will be in front of the commission, just telling people what's happening.
Oh, not the drawdown that the Russian River folks are doing off the Eel.
No, and
darn.
I know. Well, there's going to be several things about working with the community. You know, the Humboldt County supervisors actually passed unanimously a resolution to send a letter to the State Water Resources Board to help this one group, the Eel River Restoration Project, do studies on the water that involve the community. I think a lot of this involving of the community is the answer, so that we can get it to a manageable place. Because, frankly, even if you are the state and you want to take the stick approach, there's not too many people out there wielding that stick. They just don't have the personnel. So I think in their interest and all of our interests, it's better to have the community buy into it.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:41. We'll be back with more from Estelle Fennell.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions, 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass, 7 p.m. Spanish Mass, and on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:44. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Estelle Fennell. Estelle, I guess what you had said the elephant in the room was the dope growers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fine.
In
southern Humber.
Mm-hmm. All over Humboldt County.
Certainly, in Mendocino, I'm sure, in Trinity. And
yeah, if you
else.
Look at Google Earth, just have a look. And
yeah, I know. Mike likes using that one, too, when he's in. Yeah. It's safer for the sheriff to do it that way. The question I've got, and what I would have thought that the elephant was, and maybe this is the elephant's mommy, I'm not sure, is the Mad River.
Huge.
We talk about water
Absolutely.
Rights. We talk about getting taken advantage of, losing things, da-da-da-da-da. And I know some of the... Early on, the environmental community was saying, don't touch it, let it go in the water, into the ocean, when we were talking about some of the various economic options that were available. But I don't think that one's playing real well in Sacramento either.
Oh, they want that water.
So could this be the first step, I mean, continuing with our animal analogy, the camel nose, in getting things documented and saying, boy, you know, there's an awful lot of water that's being used up there by not too many people. By edict, we will take the water rights from the MAD that used to go out to the Spit. We will take additional waters that were being diverted here or diverted there or just being frittered away by the landowners. And we're going to take that also, and we're going to develop a statewide system. And you guys really don't have much to say about it. Hope that you enjoy the contract dollars as this is being put in, because that's going to be your only compensation. Kind of like Redwood Park 1 and 2.
Well, the fact of the matter is the state has the water rights. Now, an interesting benchmark in the whole discussion is what they call a water body being fully appropriated. So, in other words,
so
they
the lake
say,
being full?
Yeah, basically.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't go to the meeting. I get lost easy.
So basically, it says, okay, we have decided now that there's this many people using it. There's that many gallons being used. No more water comes out of here. An interesting thing, though, is if you've got a well, and it goes below bedrock, they have no say on that. Because
really?
They're only dealing with the water that's on the surface. And if you have a rain catchment tank, they have no say over that, because they really are only dealing with the water that flows.
Surface
in the
water
yes.
flows.
Yeah. And if it flows down a ditch, down the road into a water tank, or flows off your roof from the rain, they have no say over that.
Because
either.
There's no fish living in the well? Or on the roof.
Yeah, on the roof.
Or in the
or
plastic
in the sky.
Container. Yeah, okay.
No,
or at least they can't claim that yet.
Well.
We'll see.
But, well, it's not that. It's just that's also the Division of Water Rights, though. I mean, we're talking clearly now, Division of Water Rights, and those guys are the ones who are trying to quantify how much water is being used, is available, and how it's being used, et cetera.
So what is the end game with all of this?
Well, from my perspective as a county supervisor, the end game is we've got to protect citizens' rights as well as the environment. We've got to work together on it, and the county needs to be looking at incentive for water storage, those kind of things. And there you've got another issue: how long can you store water? There's issues about that at the state level.
Yeah, was it 6 months or 3 months?
30 days.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Over 30 days, you're...
I know there's shelf life for water, which
yeah,
is really
right,
a
right.
weird concept for me to grasp.
Yeah.
Okay. So where do things like recreation come into play?
They are a part. They are
so
one
Trinity
of the beneficial
and Shasta
uses.
And Whiskeytown can get all full before anything happens, even if it's in a drought year.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's one of the beneficial uses. They're listed, you know, obviously human consumption, protection of fish, and even invertebrates, and then the recreation. I'm not sure where they all go in.
So where in that pecking order is LA development?
It depends on who's governor.
Yeah, or whether it's the invertebrate or the vertebrate part. Halfway facetiously, but in 77, they drew down the lakes really hard.
Yep.
To keep the water flowing over the hill into the Sacramento. Okay. Bet you there's going to be another drought somewhere in the future.
Yep.
So do they draw it down, or do they keep it where it is and then tell the folks that are now building up off of this diversion, sorry.
There's only so much you can do.
Yeah. The Russian is the same thing, and nobody talked about shutting off the Russian River at the diversion to keep the eel going.
Well, and it'll be very interesting to see what happens when the Potter Valley project is recertified, and that's coming up several years from now, but it is coming up, and that was actually mentioned at this meeting also.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well,
somebody else remembers that stuff?
Yeah.
Well, wasn't you, was it?
No, actually, it was Scott Greason from the Friends of Eel River, and he was saying, you know, yeah, we're going to – in fact, he was saying – If we're not careful about our water usage here, you can have the people in the Russian River saying, oh, guess what? You guys aren't using your water properly. Why should we give you back the water we took?
Whoops. Here we go again. Well, obviously, it's a fluid situation. Okay. we'll clean up and come back and talk about it. I'm sure you're in the future. Thanks for coming by, Estelle.
Thanks, Ben.
We've been talking shop this afternoon with Estelle. I don't know where that one came from. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hugs when you'll see.